Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, as he begins a new message today called True Faith. The Encouraging Word. Faith is something that we understand. We have faith in the cars that we drive in that's going to get us where we're going to go. We have faith in the airplanes that are going to stay in the air. But true faith, when it comes to our day-to-day life, is something that is more available than you realize. As we dig deep into God's Word today, we'll be headed to Hebrews chapter 11 with Dr. Don in just a moment, but he wants me to remind you we're here for you. We're connecting keyboard to keyboard right now on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org, or this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you. Now, Dr. Wilton.
I want us to do something today. I want us to try and ask God what it is that we need to do, and we're going to discover something. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." That's a wonderful statement, isn't it? Here we are building together in faith. Here we are, we call ourselves a people of faith. Here we are endeavoring to live by faith. And God's Word says faith is being sure of what we hope for and absolutely certain of what we do not see. God instructs us at this juncture to be men and women and boys and girls who just simply are convicted about where we're going, not because we know where we're going, but we know who has already been where we're going. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here in verse 2. This is what the ancients were commended for. Now, do you know what that statement says? Statement here says that God is telling us, you want to know what true faith is all about? Go back and look at the old timers. I'd love to do that this morning. Just come down here a little bit and walk around and just spend my whole time. Now, I've got to be careful here going to the old timers, so I'm not going to do it. All right? But you want to know what true faith is, you go around people in this congregation who've been there, done that. Well, God is telling us, hey, I want you to do something even more profound than that. I don't want you to just go back to 1960 and 1950 and 1940. I want you to go all the way back to the beginning. If you want to understand what true faith is all about, I want you to leapfrog over the eons of time into the very heartbeat of the beginning of the ages according to the sovereign hand of God. And when you go back to the beginning, you are going to discover what I had in mind concerning true faith. Look, he enunciates here. Look at what happens in verse 3. He says, "By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." I have people from time to time come and say to me, "Pastor, do you believe the book of Genesis?" And I say, "Absolutely." Why? Because I have faith. "Do you believe that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish?" Absolutely, unequivocally. "I don't understand it, but I believe it because I have complete faith. I'm trying to exercise my faith in who God is." And so we begin this incredible passage here where the Lord uses a number of examples of this. Verse 4, "By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did." We're going to discover something. Both of them made an effort at worshiping God. One's effort was rejected, the other one's was accepted. What has it got to do with? It's got to do with what God tells us concerning faith. "By faith, Abel was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead." Wow! That is just amazing. You talk about a legacy. I tell you, every time I go past a war memorial, I have a sense of incredible gratitude. I really do. You know why? Because men and women are still speaking to us from the grave concerning the sacrifices that they made on behalf of a person like me. God says, listen, I want you to go into the memorial of time itself, and I want you to leapfrog all the way back there into the very beginning, and I'm going to show you something, because when I show you what real true faith is all about, you are going to be able to examine how you stand before God and His righteousness. Well, let's do that. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 4. Everybody turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. This is an incredible story. You need to read along with me. Here it is, Genesis chapter 4. Love to hear all those pages turning. Isn't that great? All right, Genesis 4 and verse 1. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said this. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Now, could we just pause there? That's the first expression of faith, and I'm not even preaching on that. Why? Do you doubt for a moment that Eve would have understood all the delicate intricacies concerning conception and birth? Folks, we know she didn't have a library. She didn't have gynecologists and obstetricians and people of medical profession who were able to explain all the details of the miracle called birth. This lady Eve, whom God created, was here at this point in time, and right from the outset, she utters the most unbelievable expression of faith. Lord, I don't know how this happened to me, and I don't know where this baby boy has come, but I do know one thing, that wherever he came from and however this happened, it has to be tied into the heart of Almighty God. That's faith. That's faith. Well, look what happens. Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. And at this point, we're going to find an incredible parallel move here, but we're going to see two schools of thought very clearly set forth. Now, Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. And from verse 3 all the way through the rest of the chapter, we have juxtaposed once against the other the propagation and the institution of a false religion that lies parallel and side by side faith, which is in God Jehovah. And what God is saying to us at this point, listen, I want you to know that this is what false faith is all about. This is what true faith is all about. You need to go back, because Abel is still speaking from the grave concerning the heart of a sovereign God who loves you. Now watch what happens here. Very interesting. In verse 3, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. What's wrong with that? Excuse me? Boy, that's a jolly nice thing to do. Is there anybody here today who would say, goodness me, that's incredible. I mean, this man went to work and he raised crops and fruit and he brought this to the Lord. What in the world could be wrong with that? We're going to discover what's wrong with that. Well, in the next verse, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. Just think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have a type of Christ, my friends. This is going to be flowing. This is the red thread, the crimson thread that flows right throughout the Scriptures, culminates with the cross of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. And right here in the beginning, the expression and the heartbeat of faith in God through Christ Jesus is set in stone, because it is set in the heart of God. Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offerings, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry. Do you know, friends, that false religion today gets very angry with true faith? The anger of the world against Christianity and the Lord Jesus Christ is only epitomized in the fact that the name of the Lord Jesus is used as a cuss word all the time. Have you ever wondered why? I've said this many times. Why people, when they cuss on movies, they always use the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know that even amongst our people today, you hear God this and God that and God the next thing? Have you ever wondered why people don't say, oh Buddha or Sun Young Moon? Have you ever wondered why? Or Don Wilton? Why doesn't anybody in America say, oh, Muhammad? It's tied into the faith that God has placed in the eternal heart of a sovereign God. This comes from before the foundation of the world, folks. We've got to go back to the beginning. Now, I can hardly stand myself. Watch this here. Cain was very angry. His face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Listen to this. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? In Hebrews chapter 11, what did God say about Abel? God said he was counted as righteous. The word here, right, doesn't mean my conscience, that I do what I consider to be the difference between right and wrong. To be right in the sight of God means that what I do in the expression of my faith lines up with what God has told me to do, not what I've decided to do. He did what was right. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, look at this personification. Look at this incredible image that is presented. But if you do not do what is right, sin personified is crouching at your door, its desire to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, come on, brother, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. In your own private time, your own private study, you read the rest of that chapter. It's remarkable. These people here that God is asking us to go back to are rather interesting. Three common features about them. Number one, they were a very simple people. Ordinary, just like you and me. They were ordinary people, simple people, going about their daily tasks, no different to ourselves. Number two, they were a searching people. They were trying to look for something. You can go and study all the patriarchs and the matriarchs. Go right throughout Scripture. Look at the leaders of even our own generation. People searching from without the context of their simplicity as human beings, searching for meaning, trying to fill that gap, trying to fill that void in their hearts and lives. People turn to drugs and alcohol. People turn to immorality. People turn to everything. People trying to find an answer to the life's predicament. Jesus said, excuse me, I'm the only one who can give to you abundant life. I've given it to you because I died upon a cross.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word, and he'll be back with the rest of today's message on true faith in just a moment. But as he was talking about that concept of finding or looking for love in all the wrong places, so to speak, looking for the answers to our predicaments, whatever they might be, in the wrong places, and you think, oh, no one's experienced the struggles that I have, I'm afraid you're wrong, my friend. I have experienced those struggles. Dr. Don has experienced those struggles. Too many times we think, well, goodness, she has it all together. Well, she may have it a great deal together, but she probably has a history, as do I, as do Dr. Don, where we didn't have it together, and God showed us a way. I pray you would let us walk a little bit further down the road with you. We're not maybe miles ahead of you. We may be just a few steps ahead of you, but we can help as we pray together. You can connect with us on our phone line at 866-899-WORD anytime, day or night. And God just connects our prayer team with the right person as you call 866-899-9673 or meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Wilton.
So what can we learn? You see, these people were simple. They were searching, but there's a third thing. They were sinful. No different from ourselves, sinful people. Can you just imagine Adam and Eve? They've just been thrown out of the Garden of Eden. Can you imagine the memories, the regrets? I can't even imagine what was going through the minds and the hearts and the lives of Adam and Eve, can you? But folks, there are some interesting things here about true faith that God is showing us. Number one, God is trying to show us that true faith is not distracted. It is not distracted. This couple that I was telling you about, and by the way, I've got wonderful news about them. That was a couple of years ago. Their marriage is just bubbling. I mean, they just so in love, folks, and it's just one of the most wonderful things I've ever seen. One minute, boy, it's all on the rocks, and didn't even want to talk. Now they're just back in love again. They went back to their first love. They rekindled that. They reexamined those things that brought them together in the first place. They went back to their beginning. You know, one of the things that, again, and I'm not just picking on the men, but I am one of them, so I have to. One of the things she said to me while we were talking, and she had written it down in her notes, she said, you know, Pastor, she said, what just really upsets me is that my husband here of 17 years doesn't give me any attention anymore. I said, what do you mean by that? Let's talk about it. She said, oh, back then when we first got married, when we were dating, she said, I was just the center of everything in his life. I mean, there was nothing that was too much trouble. He would drive for miles to come and see me, stay up all night, walk in all kinds of parks, fly all around the country, do the most incredible things you've ever seen in your life. And she said to me, we could be in a mall like Westgate Mall. There could be 10,000 people there, all crowded around us. And yet, I knew that his eyes were on me. She said we would be in gatherings and meetings at the church and so on, and there would be a crowd, and our eyes would just kind of catch. Have you ever seen a man who's got a roving eye? Particularly sad when it's a married man. He'll have a beautiful wife there and children and family, and he's spending all his time looking for other ladies. Distracted. Oh, he's still married. They still married. I mean, that's his wife. That's what she's supposed to do. Be his wife. But he's distracted. He's looking everywhere else, trying to find greener pasture. Almost to the point at which this wife is almost kind of a nuisance. It's better if she would just stay home with the kids where she's supposed to be. There's a great distraction going on. Do you know that in our Christian faith, folks, sometimes we're at it so long we become distracted, don't we? We take our focus off the Lord Jesus Christ and of who He is. Buildings distract us, home distracts us, sadnesses. Our children let us down. We file for bankruptcy. We've got all kinds of reasons, and we become distracted, and God says, hey, hey, hey. Excuse me, I want you to be focused. What happened here in the lives of these men? What was it that made Abel so singularly significant to the point at which his testimony still cries out and preaches to us from the grave? True faith is not distracted. First of all, it's not distracted by human effort. You see, Cain's work and effort were commendable, folks. They were. I mean, you cannot argue with that. But what was wrong with his human effort? God said it's not a matter of whether or not your fruit and your crops and your human effort are things that are an abomination to me. That's not the point. The point is that I am the Lord your God, and I want you to know that your faith and the expression of your faith is not based upon human effort. It is based upon who I am. Now, I'm going to say this very lovingly. God looks at us and He says, thank you very much for all the things that you do, but quite frankly, I don't need what you do, and I'm not interested in what you do. I'm only interested in what I want you to do. Folks, you wouldn't believe some of the things that I hear from time to time. It's not only distracted by human effort, but second, it's distracted by human reasoning. Cain's way was more trap. Now, could we just have a little survey here today? All right, just a silent survey. I'll do the yeas and nays. All right? If you said to me, would you rather have Cain's sacrifice or would you rather have Abel's sacrifice, that's a no-brainer to me. I'd rather look and be involved in fresh fruit and all the crops and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's far better, it looks better, it tastes better than to have some poor lamb with its throat cut, gargling and shooting blood all over the place, wouldn't you? I mean, let's be reasonable. Huh? I mean, human reasoning says, what do you want? You don't want blood shooting out all over the place and yucky. And besides that, look at that poor little lamb. I mean, what's that lamb done? And you saying to me, we got to go and cut the throat of a lamb and we got to do all this awful stuff and go through this execution in order to satisfy God. If human reason is brought into the exercise of our faith, you and I are in serious trouble. Why? Because when it came down to you and me, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Lamb of God, slain from before the foundation of the world, was willing to go to a cross and be executed in public, so that today the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission for sin. That's the gospel. That's faith, folks. Because I like it. Friends, listen. We run great danger in the 21st century of imposing our personal preferences and our personal convictions upon everything that God is. And God reminds us time without number that neither our personal preferences nor our personal convictions can ever replace or displace the absolutes of the truth of the Word of God. True faith is not distracted. Oh, I've heard people say the most unbelievable things. Well, Pastor, you know, I know the Bible doesn't teach this, but I think I'll just go to this church over here because I just prefer doing it that way. Excuse me? Or, you know, I know that this goes on here and we do this, and it doesn't matter whether we baptize, whether we do this or how, you know, you can all do it. It doesn't matter what you do or how you do it, just kind of do it, you know? It doesn't matter how you do this Christian thing. You know, and we all have our little ways of doing things, and that's how we brought up. And, you know, if I want to go and pray to this preacher over here, and if I want to confess in this way, and if I want to be baptized in this way, and if I don't like, man, that's the way I want to do it. I'll bring my offering the way I want to bring it to God. And God says, this offering is acceptable and that is not. The true faith of Cain and Abel was clear cut. Cain was the founder of false religion. Not only is true faith not distracted, but true faith is not in competition. It's not in competition with other gods. God Himself said, thou shalt have no other gods before you. God Himself said, listen, I am the true God. I am the Lord Jehovah. I am the great I am. I believe that what Cain was guilty of was the guilt of the God of human reason. Humanism began to spring its ugly head, the institution of false religion. I don't need to do what God says. I can do whatever I want to do because my faith is based upon what I want to do. True faith is not in competition with other gods, and it is not in competition with other alternatives. There is no other way. People say every now and again, well, Christians are the most narrow-minded people in the world. Absolutely correct. Yes, sir. Jesus put it like this. He said, I am the way. Any questions? Anyone got a problem with that? I am the truth. Any further questions? I am life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. Any questions? That's faith. It's very clear. Jesus said there is a broad way that leads to destruction. Many people aren't. There's a narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. True faith is not distracted. True faith is not in competition. But one more thought. True faith is not an empty faith. Many religions, folks, all religions outside of Jesus are empty. They involve all kinds of rules and rituals and regulations, and they go absolutely nowhere. Why? Because we're saved by grace through what? What do we say by grace through? Everybody say faith. We're saved by grace through
faith.
Not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. What do all these religions do? It's what I do. How many times I go to church, how much money I give, how I serve. You could go on and on. They all lead in the same direction. What happened to Cain? He ended up as a vagabond. He ended up as a wanderer. Why? Because true faith is marked by love. True faith is marked by truth. True faith is marked by usefulness. True faith is marked by peace. What happened to Cain? Force, lying, all kinds of uselessness. The religion that Cain was becoming involved in gave him no peace. His bones were rattled. He had nowhere to turn to. He was cast out. And Jesus tells us in his word, Abel has been declared to be right because he is my child according to faith.
What a powerful and sometimes rattling truth as we open God's Word together here on The Encouraging Word. If the Lord has stirred your heart, maybe even stirred your heart to some questions, let us help you discover those answers together in God's Encouraging Word, the Bible itself. If you'd like to talk with one of us, we'd be thrilled to pray with you, to talk with you, connect with resources at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or maybe the most important conversation you need to have is what Dr. Don would share with you next about just becoming honest and coming clean with God.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ.
God stirred your heart. We would love to pray with you about the next step. You can reach us at 866-899-WORD. I pray that you would know that sometimes things are better together. Let us pray with you, 866-899-9673, or meet us online at tewonline.org. I just want to say thank you to so many of you who have chosen to prayerfully and financially support us as encouragers of The Encouraging Word.
Have you been praying about how you can make a difference in the world? We would love to have you join us by becoming an Encourager Ministry Partner. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request an Encourager brochure today. There is no greater gift that you can give than to help spread the gospel. Together, we can do much to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Make a commitment to help spread the gospel in 2020. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but tomorrow we begin a two-part series called Walking Faith. You know, sometimes that faith in motion is the faith that's the most exciting and most inspiring. We'll talk about it together with Dr. Don Wilton tomorrow and study God's Encouraging Word. I hope you'll join us.